Open our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Tyre and Sidon were two principal Gentile cities of Phoenicia. And we saw last week that the Lord Jesus Christ came to their borders. Now, he did not enter into these Gentile cities, as he had commanded his disciples not to go in the way of the Gentiles. And also we saw that Paul later in the letter of Romans wrote that the Lord Jesus Christ was a minister unto the circumcision, that is, unto the Jews. The Lord Jesus Christ, his ministry, his prophetical office was exercised when he was here in the flesh toward the nation of Israel, the Jews. And as I said, he did not enter into one of these Gentile cities, but a Gentile from one of these cities came out to him seeking help and finding it. This morning, we're going to look at this remaining part of the chapter. And I would begin by reminding us that there are many prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah. In fact, the Old Testament, someone described, is a message, someone is coming. Someone is coming. And then the Gospels, that someone has come. And the Epistles, someone's coming again. But anyway, in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah, there were many prophecies. And one of those spoke of the fact that when he came, he would unstop the ears of the deaf. One of these prophecies we find in Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. The scripture there says, Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The Lord Jesus Christ, as you read through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read the Lord worked miracle after miracle in healing men and women of their physical infirmities. And the thing to always remember is that all of these physical infirmities have a spiritual counterpart. They all have a spiritual counterpart. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean they all testify to his power to save sinners. That is what he came to do. He came to save sinners. Now, the scriptures tell us that he raised the dead. We know of three, but that doesn't mean those are the only three people that the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead. But we know of three of them, and they all testify to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to quicken, to give life to men and women, boys and girls who are born spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. He cast out demons. and casting out these demons all testify to his power to deliver men and women, boys and girls from the kingdom of Satan. Every person born into this world comes into this world in the kingdom of Satan. He has the power, and he's the only one, the Savior, who has the power to deliver men from that kingdom of darkness into his own kingdom, the kingdom of God. He cleansed lepers. All leprosy, you read about it in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. It was an awful plague that would come upon people and separate them from their families, from worship, from everything. They had to be outside and live alone and identify themselves when they approached unto people, putting their hand over their lips, because even their breath was contaminating, unclean. Unclean, warning people not to come near. The Lord Jesus Christ cleansed lepers, showing us, yes, he has the power, the cleansing power to cleanse men and women from the plague of our hearts, the plague of sin. And he unstopped deaf ears and opened blinded eyes, also to show, that he has the power to unstop the deaf ears of men and women so that we might hear his voice and open our eyes so that we might see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All of these miracles. Turn with me. Keep your place here, but turn with me to John chapter 20. I believe that what John says here about the miracles, I believe there are 7 miracles recorded in his gospel, or the gospel that goes by his name. But I believe what he says here is true concerning all 4 of the gospels. In John chapter 20 and verse 30, he wrote, "And many other signs," that is miracles, wonders, "many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." In other words, John didn't record all of them. Neither did Luke. Neither did Mark. Neither did Matthew. He wrote so many. So many. But now look. "But these are written. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name." In order that you might have life, spiritual life, eternal life, through Jesus Christ, these are recorded, showing he has the power. But don't you love this also? We see, as we look at these cases, his willingness. Not only the power, but his willingness. Did any ever come to him for help and be turned away? We saw that last week. That was about the closest, wasn't it? That woman. But even she received the help that she desired, that she so needed. Now, my message this morning, I have 2 parts. First, the Lord's miracle of unstopping the man's ears. We read of that in most of these verses. The Lord's miracle of unstopping the man's ears. The Lord put his fingers into his ears. And the Lord spit on his fingers and touched the tongue of this man who was both deaf and dumb. Now let me make this point. This was not the first deaf man. This was not the first, nor the last, or the only deaf man that the Lord unstopped their ears. A few weeks ago, we were looking in Mark chapter 6. And in that chapter, we read about Herod, King Herod, cutting the head off of John the Baptist. You remember that. But while John the Baptist was shut up in prison, before he was executed, Luke and Matthew tell us something that Mark doesn't. They both tell us of something that happened. And I want you to turn to Luke with me, Luke chapter 7, and see what this was. In Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 19, and John, that is John the Baptist, in prison, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. Now notice, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. This man here in our text, this man that the Lord put his fingers in his ears and put the saliva on his tongue, this man was not the first, and he was not the only, and he was not the last, because we read later here in the Gospel of Mark of that man who brought his son first to the disciples. They couldn't cast that devil out of his son. And then the Lord Jesus came and cast that demon out. And we're told that that demon was a deaf and dumb demon. So get the point here. This man in our text, he wasn't the first, he wasn't the only, and he wasn't the last deaf and dumb man that the Lord healed. Now, I suppose I should say this, because that word dumb, I don't guess it's used anymore like it was when the scriptures were translated, but we know what it means. It means not able to speak. A person has to hear, to learn to speak, to pronounce words correctly, right? And that's the reason most people believe that this man at one time could hear and speak, but he had lost his hearing, because when the Lord touched him and healed him, he began to speak plainly, immediately. But my point is this. Were the details always the same when the Lord Jesus unstopped the ears of the deaf? Were the details always the same when he granted speech to those who were dumb? Well, we know that it wasn't. It wasn't. Now, this man was not blind, but he could see something here. I mean, he did see something here. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ looking up to heaven. Notice that in our text this morning. The Lord took him aside in verse 33 from the multitude, put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, as though to tell this man what is true of all of his healings: healing comes from above. Healing comes from above. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is from above. He came down from heaven. That is, the eternal Son of God came down from heaven that he might do the works of the Father. This man couldn't hear when he was first brought to Christ, but he could see. And the Lord testified in this way that all the healing, it came from above. It came from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, the details surrounding the healing, his healing the deaf, they varied, just like when he opened the eyes of the blind. We know blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the wayside begging. The Lord was passing by, and he began to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And the people said, "Be quiet. You're making too much noise." But you couldn't shut blind Bartimaeus up. And the Lord Jesus Christ stopped and called him to him and asked him what he would desire. And he said, "That I might see." And the Lord said, "Your faith hath made you whole." Immediately, he could see. One man who was born blind, the Lord Jesus Christ, this time put some mud on his eyes and sent him to a pool to wash himself, and he came back with sight. The Lord, the details around these healings, that's the point I want to emphasize. They varied. As far as we know, this was the only man in which the Lord put his fingers into his ears and put saliva on his tongue. I would imagine that most of those that the Lord healed, he simply spoke his word. Some he touched. They wanted the Lord to touch this man. Some he touched. But the details are not important. Are not important. They vary. But what is all important is always the same. Always the same. They were all alike. The man was deaf, he heard. The man couldn't speak, and he could speak. And the Lord Jesus Christ wrought the miracle each time. In other words, salvation comes from him. He is salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is salvation. To know him is to have eternal life. And it is to know the Father. You know, I bring this out to us because I know that some of God's dear children suffer because their experience may differ from another person's experience that they hear. And then they reason, "Well, my experience wasn't like that." You know, you look in the scriptures, God spoke to Moses on the mountain with all that smoke and the loud voice and the sound of the trumpet. He spoke to Elijah in the cave in a still, small voice. He spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos with a voice that was as loud and as a roaring water. Not always the same. The details are not always the same. But here is what is all important. The Lord is sovereign in everything. He could touch this man and say, "Be healed." He could just speak the word. Remember, he commended that one man, that centurion who told the Lord, "I'm a man, and I have soldiers under my command, and I just speak the word. I say, go, they go. I say, come, they come. Lord, just speak the word. I'm not worthy that you even come under my roof." And his servant was healed. The Lord is sovereign in the way, the details. I've told you this story many times, and it sticks in my mind because it just shows the sovereignty of God, and it just shows how wonderful the Lord is. But it does to me, at least. Those three young men playing outside that church building in England years ago, playing out there on the green, Sunday evening. Want to know what time it was. And they knew there was a clock inside the church building, but none of them were brave enough to go in because they were holding service. Preacher was preaching. Finally, they convinced one of their buddies to go in and look at the clock and come back out and tell them what time it was. Well, he went in, but he didn't come back. And so they decided they better go check on him. They went in. They didn't come back. You say, what happened? God arrested them. the long arm of Jehovah, just like the long arm of the law will arrest men. God arrested these young men, and they heard the gospel, and they were saved. The details. And I doubt if anyone else had an experience like that. I've never heard of anyone else, never read of anyone else like that. But yet, even though the details are different, the experience is always the same. God, the Holy Spirit, uses His Word. I'm talking about conversion experience now. God always uses His Word to teach us of our sin, to show us that we are guilty before God. You ask the average person today if he is a sinner, and he may admit, oh, I've done some few things wrong. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking, are you a sinner? Are you obnoxious to the wrath of God because of your sinfulness? Very few people will admit, that's me. That's me. By nature, that's what I am, a sinner. God uses His Word to show us, to teach us that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He uses His Word to teach us that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He is God manifest in the flesh. Yes. And He gives us life and faith to trust in Him and in Him alone. In this, we are all saved in the same way. Our experiences may vary. Some people have told me their experience over the years, and it's astounding. We don't all have the same experience. But we all know this. Once I was deaf, but now I can hear. Once I was blind, but now I see. Yes. We all say this, Jesus is precious to me. So that's the first part of the message. Now the second part, I want us to consider for just a few minutes the testimony of those who witnessed this miracle. If you notice in verse 37, it says, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. What was their testimony? He hath done all things well. He hath done all things well. Now their testimony, it's true, concerned this miracle of unstopping the deaf ears and healing him of the impediment of speech. But I'm not going to limit myself to those things. He hath done all things well. Everything he did well. Everything. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ did, He did well. Let me mention four things that He did. Number one, He glorified God. John chapter 17 and verse 4, in His prayer He said to the Father, I have glorified Thee on the earth. How did He glorify the Father? Well, we know He did by His perfect obedience to God's will. His perfect obedience to God's will. And in doing that, He glorified the Father. Now, the first man, the first Adam, he did not glorify God. He failed. He disobeyed. God gave him one rule by which his obedience was tested, and that one rule was, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. but he did not glorify God. He disobeyed God. He defied God. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, who is revealed to us in the Word of God as the last man. Adam was the first man. Christ is the last Adam, the last man. And just as that first man was a representative, so the last man, Adam, was a representative man. Adam represented all men. And as the scripture says, in Adam all die. Christ represented all who were in him, who were chosen in him, who were given unto him. And in Christ shall all be made alive. He hath done all things well. He glorified the Father. When he came into this world, he came saying, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He did all things well. Number two, here's the second thing. He witnessed a good confession to God. Look with me, if you will, in 1 Timothy just a moment. He glorified God. Yes, he did that well. Also, he witnessed a good confession to God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession or profession." Now, when he stood before Pilate, when he was brought before Pilate, he witnessed a good confession. But some understand this text as saying that he witnessed a good confession under the reign of Pontius Pilate, because the Lord exercised his ministry under the reign of Pilate, all of his ministry under his reign of Pilate. And he witnessed a good confession. It is true, when he stood before Pilate, he witnessed to Pilate both by what he said and what he didn't say. Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he confessed. He said, "Thou sayest," which means "I am." That's what he confessed. But he also at the same time told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." And then Pilate asked him this, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" Here you had these Jewish priests and scribes, and they were witnessing, they were testifying against the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ answered not a word. He didn't defend himself. The scripture had prophesied concerning him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. So he witnessed a good confession before Pilate, literally, and during the reign of Pilate, when he exercised his ministry, he witnessed a good confession. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, that's one of his titles. That's one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The faithful witness. He hath done all things well. He witnessed a good confession. Number three, he revealed God. He glorified God. He witnessed a good confession. He revealed God. You are very familiar with John 14:9 when he said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Remember that this was said about the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. "You have seen me, you have seen the Father." This testimony was said about him. He hath done all things well. The God-man, he hath done all things well. He has revealed God. When John, in his first epistle, tells us two things about God. He said, God is light, holy, just, righteous in every way. God is love, gracious, and merciful. He revealed God. Hanging upon the tree, he revealed God. There's God's darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet we see God is light, God is just, God is righteous. And even when his Son was paying the penalty of sin for his people, the Lord poured out his judgment upon Christ. He reveals God, and he reveals God is love, doesn't he? Hanging on that tree, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not freely with him give us all things? You see his light, just, righteous, holy. See his love, gracious, merciful. Yes, he revealed God. He hath done all things well. And lastly, he redeemed his church unto God. He hath done all things well. We read in the book of Revelation that the ransomed in heaven, they sing to the Lamb, Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. When the Lord Jesus Christ was there upon that cross and at the close of his life, when he saw that everything had been fulfilled, he said, I thirst. That was prophesied of him. And then with a loud voice, he cried, It is finished. Redemption. Redemption is finished. Nothing more need nor can be added to his redemption of his people. He didn't make salvation possible. He saved his people. He hath done all things well. That's the reason we like to worship him and sing of him, isn't it? Because of who he is and because of what he has done. He's done all things well. Most of us men, we couldn't say I've done anything well. We've tried, but he's done all for everything. Isn't that amazing? Everything. He hath done all things well. We're going to sing a hymn before we are dismissed in prayer. Number 252, only